Please have a seat. I can still do today anything I could do when I was 20. True. Well, pretty much anything I could do when I was 20. I can't carry 4 50-pound cement blocks at one time anymore like I used to could. But I can still carry 2 on each hand. It takes me longer to do stuff than it used to. And it hurts more for me to do things than it used to. And it takes longer to recover than it used to. However, I can still do stuff and keep going. Longer than a lot of people, even half my age. I can keep going. I'm actually a pretty strong guy. I think so because I'm scrawny little feller, but I'm a pretty strong guy, and I've surprised quite a few folks over the years about that. I'm what they used to call wiry. Don't hear that much anymore, that term, wiry. Seems to me people either tend to be this kind of soft and weak and scrawny, or voluminous. Huge, overweight, obese, the Incredible Hulk kind of a thing. And in terms of strength, that's also kind of true. You see these guys who have biceps as big as my waist, and you know, they're this tall and weigh 400 pounds, and you can see the needle marks and the steroids. Or they're just, oh my. Oh no, another one? I'll get this one first. You know, they're so unable to do things. But there's not much middle ground. I don't know why. Have you seen that? Have you noticed that? People are either kind of wimpy or they're just artificially blown up out of proportion. I don't know why, but it seems to be that way. Now I'm only talking about physical strength here, but I got on this line of thought when I was reading our scriptures for today. And I started thinking about strength, mainly because almost at the very end of Peter's epistles section there, he says you have to speak with the strength that comes from God. Started thinking about that. And then the principles in the three pieces that we read. First you have Moses. And kind of a sidebar, his brother Aaron in Exodus. And then you have King David, who wrote Psalm 32. And then, again, Peter. And I figured, you know, all these guys were strong men. They're strong men. I looked at, did something unusual for me, and I looked up the definition of the word strong. I don't use a dictionary very often. I open up a dictionary most times when we're playing Scrabble and come up with a weird word that nobody's ever heard of before. That's about it. If I looked up the word strong in the dictionary, strong is an adjective. It's a descriptive word. And the noun is strength, by the way, for strong. It's defined as having a lot of physical power, like being able to lift weights or to do hard physical work, to have great power. Like that country is strong militarily. It's got lots of army type people. Or someone's strong, they're difficult to fight or defend against. So I concluded that initially, at least, the word strong was used to define physical attributes, and that was it, because if you look at the development of a word in the dictionary, it might say, well, it comes to the old Latin, to the old English, to the old German, to whatever, you know, to evolution. So it kind of started out with that, physical attributes. However, over time, it started to mean more. It started to mean moral stuff, or intellectual power, or faith. They're strong in their faith. They're strong in their morals. They never do that. Smart guy, he's strong in his mind. Or perhaps even having great resources. Strong bank. Strong backing. This kind of stuff. Maybe even zealous. Strong on a position. So, that cogitating in my head, come up, what is the opposite of strong? Weak. So what's weak mean? Again, it's not a noun. It's a verb. I mean, it's an adjective. It means not physically strong. It pops right up, right? It can't support a lot of weight. It's a weak structure. Likely to break. It's a weak bridge. Drive over it. Easy to influence. Oh, they're really weak in their thoughts about this. I can change their mind, no problem. Not good at something. Their painting skills are weak. You're going to sell that painting at auction? Yeah, I get 2 bits for it. Susceptible to moral failing. Got to watch that guy in the Oval Office, man. He's weak. Actually, I didn't mean to pick out any individual here. Just to look at that judge. He's weak. Look at that sheriff. He's weak. Take bribes. Have affairs. These two definitions are pretty obvious when applied to ordinary people. But when it gets up to high-end folks, hotshot financiers and politicians, celebrities, people that are generally looked up to, you know, we applaud them when they're strong, when something goes their way, and then we boo them when they fail. You ever notice on TV or on the internet, any place you get news, that if you've got a famous woman who has a miscarriage and loses a baby, it's a tragedy. And all these people are comforting her and giving her comfort and love because she had a miscarriage. And yet, the lower end of the page is another celebrity woman who just had an abortion. Oh, she was such a strong lady. She went out and was brave enough to do this. I don't get it. You've got the ending of a life, one on purpose and one accidentally. One is comforting and the other is applauded. It doesn't make sense, but that's the way it works. People will grab at these celebrities and applaud what they see as strong and denigrate what they think is weak. Even though celebrities are just normal people. Moses and David and Peter started out just ordinary guys. They were all probably physically kind of strong. I mean, Moses and David were shepherds. Forget the fact that Moses was brought up in the king's court. He had to toughen up because he was a shepherd for his father-in-law. Moses and David were shepherds, so you know the kind of stuff they had to do out in the pastures, guarding their sheep. David talks about having to kill lions and bears and things of this nature, wolves. Peter was a fisherman. Fishermen back in that day, even today, but back in that day, throwing nets and hauling in fish took a lot of physical strength and stamina. So demanding jobs, but really they were just ordinary folks when they started. But then they got promoted by God. And all of a sudden, they weren't ordinary anymore. Moses became the leader of the Israelites. David became the king of Israel, and Peter became the head of the Christian church in the early days. But after a while, the weaknesses started showing up. Moses was impatient. If you remember when they were on the Exodus, he hit a rock to make water come out because he didn't want to wait for God. David had an affair with Bathsheba, and then had her husband killed. Peter was a flippy-floppy kind of a guy. He denied knowing Jesus. When he was meeting with Gentiles later on, he flip-flop as to whether or not to eat with them. Ordinary guys. Making mistakes, showing their weaknesses. But that's who God uses in this world. Ordinary people. Because at the bottom, the base of everything, we're all ordinary. What makes somebody extraordinary? What they've done, maybe. Not necessarily who they are. Definitely not who they were born to be. Look at Charles of England over there. He spent, what, a 74-year apprenticeship? Longest apprenticeship in the world. But he was born to be king. He's just an ordinary guy, really, with lots and lots of privileges and experience. But God uses ordinary people to do his work here on earth. Look at the 12 disciples, the original 12. Very ordinary. They weren't outstanding people in any way. Maybe one was. They were fishermen. Lots of people were fishermen back then. They were political activists, like Simon the Zealot, wanting to kick out the Romans. Tax collector, Matthew. He might have been somebody. And a thief, Judas, a turncoat, also Judas. They weren't learned guys. They probably knew enough of Hebrew to go through their bar mitzvahs when they were 12, 13 years old. But I doubt very much they sat down and read War and Peace type books whenever they had a chance. And the same would have been true about the women folk that were hanging with them. I mean, Jesus' mother was here and there, right? And she was a widow of a carpenter. Peter's wife was the wife of a fisherman. They had Mary and the other Mary and who knows who else, but they were just ordinary people. And they started out not strong. They started out weak compared to society. They were bottom-rung people. By the way, it was looked at there. And when Jesus left, after he was crucified, they showed their weaknesses. They wanted to compromise. They wanted to give in. What was the first thing they wanted to do? They wanted to hide. Afraid of the Romans. I guess that's a common response to being threatened or what they perceived as a threat, to hide. Because they were concerned about themselves. They were flawed. And again, if you were a businessman, businesswoman, hiring people, you wouldn't hire any of them. Just because they weren't that kind of person. Even so, Jesus had called out to them, and in spite of their fear, they followed him. And that fear is obvious in the Gospels. When you read the Gospels, if you look at how the disciples responded to everything that Jesus did, they were always nervous. They were always afraid. Not talking about the big things, like when they were in the boat and it was rocking and rolling and they thought it was going to sink. I mean, that was big-time fear. But they were concerned about causing problems and getting swept up in some kind of a pogrom. But in spite of the fear, they kept going. They had Jesus there to help them along. Even when they had their lapses and their failures, they kept going. When Jesus was with them still, he kind of smoothed over the waters with them and said, no, that's okay, Bob. I mean, yeah, fine, you'll give me a screw up, but you can fix that. And continued on. Because they were ordinary people who did some extraordinary things and had some lapses and weaknesses. Because we're here. 12 men plus their hangers-on 2,000 years ago, and we're here. 12 ordinary guys. And we're here. And that same God-given strength that Moses had, that David had, that Peter and the rest of the 12 had, we have. It's there. We have that. Sometimes it's hidden, though, and it needs some encouragement to bust out. Sometimes you say, well, I'll do that when I get around to it. You ever said that? I'll do that when I get around to it. And then you never, ever get it done? Well, you know what, Allie? Have a round to it. A round to it. You don't need two of them, friend. Yeah, Andrew, you need a round to it, too. You got a round to it. We all do. I need several of them. Round to it. These are great juju because they remind us that we're all ordinary people and we can do things. We just have to get around to it. And the first time I came across something like this was 35 years ago, maybe. I handed things like this out to my first congregations. Been doing it ever since because that's what we need. I need a round to it. It's kind of the equivalent of a honey-do list. I'll do it when I get around to it. Andrew, just so you know, I have a bunch of round to it. But when it comes to God, a lot of times our round to it become blank circles. Because we want to be ordinary. We don't want to be different. Because as Christians, we are supposed to be different. We are not supposed to be the same as everybody else. We are supposed to be Christ people. We are supposed to be God people. We're not supposed to be ordinary. So if you don't want to be ordinary, you have a genuine number one, USDA grade to it. A round to it. And it's for all those times you just need a little extra nudge. Well, yeah, you're right. Well, should I do this today or tomorrow? You got a round to it. Do it. Last thing. Really, it's the last thing. When we were in Minnesota, we learned a phrase. Hey, Bob, you know, a guy could paint that sidewalk with yellow stripes on it to make it safety conscious. I just told Bob to paint the sidewalk with yellow safety stripes. But I would never say, this is Minnesota talk, Bob, go out and paint the thing with nothing. A guy could, if they had a round to it. Think about that. All those things that a guy could do. You never heard a gal could do up there. It was there in the background somewhere, but you never actually heard it said. When you see those things that need to be done, that could be done, you just have to have a round to it. You got